531. Polynesians represent 5.4% of the top 204 players selected in the 2020 NFL draft, despite being only 0.3% of the US population, as noted by the Polynesian Hall of Fame on its Instagram account. The 2020 NFL draft contained the largest number of Polynesian players selected in NFL draft history, and this year's draft held at the end of April, over 3 days. Of course, Tua Tagovailoa drafted by the Miami Dolphins with their first pick, and the draft's fifth overall pick. He was the only Polynesian picked in the first round. Seuli Manase Jesse Saapolu, four-time Super Bowl champion with the San Francisco 49ers, who played 15 seasons in the NFL after being selected in the 11th round in 1983, as well as the Polynesian Hall of Fame 2015 inductee, joins me now on Pacific Breakfast with the beautiful Golden Gate Bridge there in the background. Maloso I fuera wa fionga Seuli, and what a great pleasure to have your company this morning, Uso.
It's an honor to be on with you and visit some of our Samoan people and our Polynesian people in the land of the long white cloud. And it's good to talk some gridiron football today with you.
Yes, yes, and please forgive my lack of expertise compared to yourself, but hey, we will move forward. Firstly, Seuli, just how significant is this, having 11 Polynesian players selected in the 2020 NFL draft, the biggest ever or the largest ever a Polynesian draft in NFL history?
Well, just to give you an example, you know, when I was an active player in the 80s and the 90s, we had six. And by the time I retired, we had eight in the whole league. So just to get drafted this 1 year with 11 draft choices. And then I think with the unrestricted free agents that we signed, kids that didn't get drafted that are also, including a kid from Australia, I think we're over 20 kids this year. So it's a real strong class, probably the biggest we've ever had.
In terms of the reaction from our poly community in the States, no doubt it's been huge, Seuli.
Yeah, it's exciting, you know. But Samoans, Tongans, Hawaiians, they're starting to learn. The families and our whole Polynesian community as a whole are understanding that this particular game has given us not only a chance to go to the NFL, but also a lot of our kids, like 1,000 in college, that are getting a free education because of this particular game. So it's very exciting times. As you can see, yesterday, Tua signed his contract, 4 years for $30 million, and was able to give his mom a new Escalade for Mother's Day. So, you know, I think I was born a little too early.
And that's a great Mother's Day present indeed. You know, Seuli, with all the talk about, you know, where Tua would go and leading up to the draft and, you know, who would tank for Tua, you know, were you surprised with him taking the fifth pick overall? Were you expecting him to go in the top three, say?
Well, if he wasn't injured, I truly believe he probably was a favorite to be the number one pick. But, you know, Tua's had some injuries in the last 2 years. But his ability shined through to where he was taken in the top five. You know, I lived really close to a training camp for the LA Chargers, which was pick number six. And I was already starting to picture me and Tua's dad going to breakfast every morning. But, you know, Miami pulled the trigger at number five. And you know, it's a blessing. We had another kid that almost went in the first round, went in the second pick of the second round, AJ Epenesa. A Samoan kid. So we're very excited about our kids this year.
With all the injury concerns surrounding Tua going into the draft, Seuli, how do you think he'll go at the Dolphins? I mean, we have to go all the way back to Dan Marino for a quarterback of, you know, real notes. Is that too much pressure to put on him to say, you know, this kid is going to be the next Dan Marino at the Dolphins?
Well, I think that comes with the territory. You know, I just mentioned the contract he just signed. So, you know, the reason you're paid that type of money is because the expectations are high. We encourage our kids to take on that and embrace that pressure. You know, it's I have confidence that you got picked at that slot because you're a real good player. As far as injuries, you know, I think that the Dolphins drafted some offensive linemen high in the draft with the thought process of making sure they protect their franchise quarterback. So we're excited about Tua and what he brings to the table.
In terms of, you know, tips or advice, I mean, 15 seasons in the NFL for you, you know, four-time Super Bowl champion. What is the advice you give to, you know, Polynesian players about longevity in the NFL, Sayuli?
Well, I think the longevity comes from mental toughness, you know, and that mental toughness is the ability to prepare your body after every season to make sure you can come back and take the punishment. The advice that I give out kids today is, you know, it's a double-edged sword here, because when I played, I mentioned there were 6 to 8 of us. But at that time, people were saying, man, these Polynesian guys are the toughest we've ever seen, because there were 8 of us, you know. Now we have close to 100 in the league. And obviously, the more numbers you have, the more some of these players won't work out. So I look at the preservation of the reputation that we have as Polynesian players, the toughness that we bring to the football field, and hopefully, even though we have a lot of numbers, that our Polynesian kids can uphold our reputation.
In terms of that, you know, what would you say, Sayuli, and from your experience, of course, some of the big challenges that Polynesian players face in the football system? You talked about the, you know, the mental toughness and the physical attributes of Polynesian players, but then there's the other side, you know, in terms of our culture, in terms of our, you know, generally humility, our faith, our big connection to our ainga, and how that all plays in pretty much, you know, cutthroat business of the NFL.
Well, not only the cutthroat part of the business, but also the temptation part of the business. You know, this is, we've grown right now, you know, all these kids are coming in at the age of social media where, you know, everywhere you go, you can't make a mistake. And if you do, we're at the age where you're not given an opportunity to say you're sorry, you know. So that's scary from the standpoint of the more numbers, like I spoke about. One of the things that we're very proud of is the humility that our Polynesian players have. The fact that they walk softly, but they carry a big stick. That's the kind of reputation that we have. But at the same time, you know, they're humans. So a lot of temptation off the football field. So when you're taking home $500,000 a week, you know, they're human, and it's going to get to the point where they might think that they're bigger than the system, and they might think, well, maybe I don't need my eye anymore. So that's the type of fear that we have as former players that try to be mentors to our young players. And hopefully, for the most part, you know, the Marcus Mariota's, Tua, when he speaks, you know, a lot of our kids, that natural humility comes with their upbringing and our culture. But at the same time, you can't not live in fear that, you know, at some point, the world's going to get to our kids, but we try the best we can to make sure we hang on to our culture.
Sayuli, you've brought up Marcus Mariota, and I want to ask this question just out of pure curiosity. Now that he's moved to the, Raiders, going to be, back up to Derek Carr and that. Just in terms of, you know, a former Heisman, a trophy winner, such high expectations, but then at the Titans over the last, you know, 5 years, you know, talk about how, you know, he didn't have the sort of security of, you know, offensive coordinator. You know, allowing him to sort of flourish. When you look at somebody like Lamar Jackson and what the Ravens did, how they pretty much, you know, changed their whole system to fit his natural game. How do you feel Marcus will go with the Raiders?
Well, I think Marcus is at the he's at the crossroads of his career. It's very similar to the young man that came over to his team and took his job. You know, he came over from Miami. A change of scenery was a great thing for him. So we're hoping that a new start, a new beginning, will be great for Marcus. But here's a here's what I tell people behind the scenes. You know, backup quarterbacks make $7 to $8 million a year. You know, and if the worst life offers Marcus Mariota is to back up for 8 to 10 years, making $8 to $9 million a year, I'm not going to cry over it. You know, not only is he saving his body, but he's making that type of money, saving his body. But at the same time, I know our kids. Our kids are competitors. They want to go out there and make a name for themselves. So I think a fresh start for him is a good thing.
It's a very good point you bring up, Sayuli, in terms of managing your body. So many articles, and especially over the last few seasons, in terms of, you know, concussions and, you know, the whole thing of the expectation of the organization versus your pride or the, you know, your physical well-being. How do you manage that, Sayuli? You know, for yourself, I'm sure a number of times you played through injury. How do you navigate that space? Is it, no, hey, I'm getting paid, so, you know, I'll just get a few injections and I'll be good to go and not worry about the consequences after, you know, football life is finished?
Well, that's the mentality that that I spoke about. When I'm talking about Marcus being a backup making $8 to $9 million a year, that's me being retired. But for Marcus and the players that are playing the game, they don't think that way. You know, the only time they think in that manner is when they negotiate their contract during the offseason. But you're right. You know, I've had a lot of injections over the years. You know, when you're hurt and it gets to Wednesday and Thursday and the game is Sunday and you're not quite well enough, you know, they have alternatives that they inject cortisone into your joints to make sure that you can play. But again, now that I look at it and I'm thinking that was crazy. But at the time when I was doing it, you know, that's just the warrior mentality of an athlete. Whether you're playing rugby or you're playing American football, you know you're getting paid. You know the expectation that the organization has for you, and you got to go out and fulfill it.
Now, Sayuli, I know you've got family here in New Zealand, and you've been to New Zealand a number of times, and with the work that you do through the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame, do you see at some time in the future that there might be maybe one or two more players coming from this part of the world, you know, to be able to make it to the NFL? I mean, if we're looking at somebody like, what is it, Jordan Mailata with the, you know, the Eagles, that, you know, they invested in this guy who literally had no experience in the NFL, and they've got big reps on this guy. Maybe, you know, taking a few more snaps this season. Who knows? Your thoughts?
Well, that's the reason I'm making the effort to come out there. You know, this past year we inducted David Dixon into the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame from New Zealand. We had Mark Nua 6-7 years before David Dixon. But here's the problem. The problem is we can't have one player every 3 to 4 years. There's so many great athletes in New Zealand, it's probably a bigger population than we do here in California, but it's an untouched market. So my goal is to make sure we have an ebb and flow of kids, you know, because if 2 or 3 kids from New Zealand come here and play 10 years and make that type of money, you know, I started off playing rugby in Independent Samoa. I go back to Independent Samoa because that love is still in my heart to help our kids introduce this game as another avenue for education and football. If you have a flow from New Zealand of one every year and then gets to 2 every year, and some of those kids go on to the NFL and play 10 years, they can come back with that type of money and help the rugby programs in New Zealand, the lower programs in New Zealand. And I think that is what we're trying to do because it's an untouched market. We got a lot of great athletes, but the key is we got to try to get them here at 14 to 15 years old. Because Jordan Mailata is a great athlete, but right now he's fighting to catch up with all the kids that started playing, you know, 7-8 years ago. And his athletic ability is why the Eagles are investing in him. Of course, he has the size, but it will be a lot easier if we get the kids here at 14, 15, 16 years old.
I want to ask. Okay, let's go there. the Super Bowl last year. Okay, in terms of the 49ers going down to the Chiefs and that. This talk about Harbaugh, Coach Harbaugh, and that, with his time with the Falcons and, he choking on the big occasions and with the 49ers. Coach Shanahan, yes. Your thoughts on how, your thoughts on the Super Bowl, and because for all intents and purposes, it should have been, in the bag for the 49ers.
Well, Kansas City has a real special team also. The 49ers last year was 4-12, So the improvement this year, we would have taken 10-6, right? But we went to 13-3. Honestly, from the human standpoint, I didn't expect us to go to the Super Bowl. I knew we were going to be pretty good, but I didn't expect us to go to the Super Bowl. But the coaching of Kyle Shanahan and his staff, we have a real young team. We hit a nice little run. We ran through the playoffs, played three quarters great at the Super Bowl. But when you have a guy that they call a generational type of quarterback, that's part of the game. The thing with the 49er fans is, during my generation, we went five times. We won all five. The last two, we've lost, and we've lost close ones. And those are the ones that breaks your heart, But for me, being a former player and being realistic, I'll take the improvement last year any day, going from 4-12. There were times when I walked to my car losing 7 straight in a row to catch my flight to come back home after a game, And then Kyle Shanahan is a real young coach. We have a guy that people made fun of that's our general manager because he was a television commentator and came in without any experience. And all of a sudden this year, they look at him as a master, right? But that's human nature. I got to look past the pain of losing the Super Bowl and look at it realistically. We got way better as a team than the year before, are we going to get back to it? It's going to be tough because other teams have improved. But I think we've improved also.
Well, not that you've ever known the pain of losing a Super Bowl yourself, so you'll be.
You feel it as a fan now.
Oh, right. Okay. But here's the question, and I'm sure you get asked all the time. Super Bowls with Joe Montana and Steve Young, okay? You compare the two quarterbacks. You're coming down to the final drive and, you need a touchdown to win, who are you going to go with as your quarterback?
Oh, no doubt, Joe Montana. Not a question. And no disrespect to Steve Young, because he's also a Hall of Famer. And I love Steve. But playing with Joe was what built our organization to the point where even when he left, Steve continued those winning ways. But hopefully Jimmy Garoppolo, last year was his first year starting a whole season. So hopefully that experience, from last year will carry us into this year. The key is not like when Harbaugh came to us, we won for 3 years and then we went on the losing streak for another 3 years. When I played with the 49ers, it was 20 years of 10 wins or more. So we need that consistency because we're not going to win the Super Bowl every year. But when you're up there taking your shot every year, you're going to win some. And that's what we're trying to get to.
Sayuli Manase Jesse Sapolu, four-time Super Bowl champion with the San Francisco 49ers. Sayuli, whaftaitele lavaloa fionga. We've been greatly blessed to have your company this morning and sharing your experience and your expertise. We really appreciate it. To you and to the family, especially with the COVID-19 and all the effects over there in the States at the moment, stay safe. Thank you so much. God bless and have a great day.
God bless.
It is 10 minutes to 7. And coming up shortly, our news at 7 o'clock, 5:31 PI, Pacific People Together.
Bless.
God bless. It is 10 minutes to 7. And coming up shortly, our news at 7 o'clock, 5:31 PI, Pacific People Together.